Yeah, we've got Pastor Rob Vinberg, and Pastor Rob has a show he does here, and he's with Grace Church. Sorry, not Cathedral. And you've been doing wonderful things, and when I heard about this Journey to the Holy Land, it's coming up soon, November 9th through the 22nd. I went, wow. I went to Jerusalem, I think, in 1993 or 94, and I loved it. I really, really loved it. I didn't go to some of the places you're going to, but folks, you have to hear about this because it's the most amazing price with some wonderful people. The tour price is $3,850, and that includes your airfare on United and what else?
Well, it includes a breakfast buffet, and it includes a dinner buffet. It includes transportation, includes tour guide, all the entry fees, includes ground transportation. It basically includes everything except the gifts you want to buy and the tips you want to give.
Wow.
So it's all inclusive. You shouldn't have to do anything. We are going to be out around Jerusalem and different places in Israel, and so people can buy their lunch there wherever they go, but with a breakfast buffet and a dinner buffet. Some of us that are kind of weight conscious might get by on just that. But of course, you want to buy a falafel, you want to buy bagels and lox, and you want to enjoy some of the local food and, of course, the Arabic stands and so on. You just want to do it. We got one day we were having lunch with the Bedouins. And so we're in the Bedouin tent and we're enjoying their lunch and so on. So it's all included. All those things are included.
And that's how many days total?
Well, it's 11 days in hotels in Israel, but of course, coming from Maui, we're talking about a day and a half getting there and a day and a half getting back. So it's, count on 2 weeks, 14 days.
Yeah.
To be.
That's a good deal.
It's a very good deal.
It is a good deal.
I mean, no, really. I mean, I broke it down and I started thinking about what it would cost. If you were going to try to book this yourself, you couldn't really beat this because the airfare alone would probably be. And I've checked prices, you know, airfare would probably be the cheapest you can get, about $13, $14. It would be the cheapest you could book it. So you take that $1,400 from $3,850 and then think for what, that'd be some $2,000-something. It would include your hotels.
$2,450
with food and hotels.
I was just talking to a family from Chicago. They want to join with us on it, and they want to do ground only. They want to get their own arrangements to get there because they've been to Israel before, and they want to see friends and family. So they're going to be joining us once we're on the ground. And so they said, what is it? And that's exactly the calculation we did. We took $1,400 off our fee of $3,850, came up with $2,450, and that's all the hotels, meals, travel, tour guides.
For 11 days.
For 11 days, yeah.
That's amazing.
It's about $188 per day.
$188. Basically, you're getting your hotel and meals, and you're just getting the tour for free.
Just finding a hotel for $180 is hard, and then you're getting your food for free and the tour and the
per person.
Getting in.
And we've been very fortunate that because we've gone in November, that's not the high season. In Israel, they have the high holy days in September, October, typically. So we wanted to miss that, so we scheduled it a little bit later. We found this great tour opportunity with a travel service that has done a number of churches here on Maui. And so we said, well, we'll talk to them. And they came up with this great price. They gave us the hotels we want. And of course, staying in Israel, you want to stay at least a day or two at a kibbutz. And so what I found when I traveled to Israel, because I've been there four times before, is the kibbutz is not what I imagined. I expected tents and camels,
so I was thinking,
and
a tent,
everybody was handed a shovel and get to work. But they have kibbutzim that are geared for hospitality. So one of the nicest places we stayed in the entire trips to Israel were the kibbutz experience that we had up in the Galilee. And it was first class, everything. Beautiful hotel rooms and beautiful buffets and everything, and yet they called it a kibbutz. I was surprised.
Yeah, I never would have guessed that. Hmm.
But they have kibbutzes that, or kibbutzim is the proper way.
Kibbutzim?
Kibbutzim is the plural of kibbutz. So they have those all over Israel that are focused on different economic bases. So the economic base of a hotel kibbutz is going to gear toward the tourists. It's going to be nice and well-trained staff and all the comforts that you would expect in a five-star hotel.
Well, because people tune in and out, let's get, first of all, the way they can contact you and get this, and then we'll go into the different places you're going. So and this is an amazing deal. So the best way to reach you by phone is
you can call the church at 572-8384. Right.
8384. 572-8384. In case you're driving, I'll repeat it one more time. 572-8384. I mean, and that's the best way?
Yes, that's the best way. We have an answering machine if it should be after hours for our office. And so people can leave name. I was just talking to another couple, a local Japanese couple. They're joining us from Oahu. And so they're flying over to Kahului. I don't know if that's the best way to do it, but they wanted to be with our group.
The group,
so they're
yeah.
flying over earlier in the day. We're leaving at night on the on November 9th, and we'll be joined with this couple. They're retired, kind of Japanese couple, but they're just so excited about it. It's been a desire of theirs for a lifetime, and mm-hmm. they're joining us on the trip.
I think everyone should see Israel and Jerusalem once in a lifetime. There is no other place like it. I mean, the history, the feeling, it's there's nothing like it. Have you ever been, Kathy?
No, but I want to go.
It's
well,
an
I'll tell
amazing
you what, I will
journey.
Trade you. We'll give you and your husband an opportunity to go to Israel because I now want to go to Portugal.
Yeah. It's okay. Let's
check my calendar.
Yeah, let's really check on what this is including here, because I went down the whole list and I was like I say, I went to Jerusalem. I did stay at a really nice hotel. I stayed at the King David, and I did
very
go
nice.
Down to the Dead Sea. And mm-hmm. I had two or three days there, and I forget because it was a while ago. But I didn't go to some of these places you're going to, and it looks like you've really got some interesting places. So give us the different trip details.
Well, we have a number of people that are Jewish on the tour, and then, of course, a number of Christians and church people. So we've included the sites that would be of appeal to both.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, for Christian sites, many of the Jewish sites are of appeal.
Yeah.
The Western Wall, what some people
yeah.
refer to as
the Wailing Wall, you have to see.
You have to see that, the Dome of the Rock, which is a Muslim. So you have to see these things. So we're going to be seeing Bethlehem, the birthplace of Jesus. We're going to be going up to Caesarea, or what we pronounce Caesarea. We're going to see the Roman ruins there. We're going to go to Akko.
What's the star? I don't know this one. Caesarea?
Caesarea, yeah. Caesarea.
Caesarea.
It was named that way for Caesar, and it was a place when they expanded their empire. It included,
now, is that
of course,
north?
Israel. That's slightly north of Tel Aviv. It's along the coast. Beautiful ancient amphitheater, which has been restored beautifully.
Oh. And so there's ruins there.
The aqueducts. The amazing ability of the Romans to engineer things like aqueducts to transport water miles mm-hmm. and miles and miles with no pumps
yeah.
and they carried the water down.
Uh-huh. And does that include also the the ruins of the Hippodrome?
I don't know about the Hippodrome. I don't see it on our itinerary per se. It's not something that I saw, but it was all of the coastal cities were, of course, influenced by Roman architecture, and Akko and some of these places, the Crusader cities. That's kind of the Middle Ages time and the early
mm-hmm.
Civilization of Western contact. But what we're talking about when you get into Jerusalem and these other places is you're turning the clock back another 1,000 or 2,000 years. So going to places like Jericho, where it's considered the oldest city in the world.
I didn't know that.
And you go to the city of Jericho and you visit the well, which means that was the heart of the city.
Everyone met there.
Thousands of years ago. That's
yeah.
where Joshua went mm-hmm. to take a drink, or the settlements that were there in the Canaanite eras. That was the city. The wells don't move around. So things like that have impacted me in my previous trips to Israel in such a way that no other place did.
I know. I'm just going to interrupt here because I did get a notice from John here. That Honopi Ilani Highway, once again, Highway 38, Malaya Harbor Road, very slow traffic due to a vehicle accident. Please use caution. Responders are on the scene awaiting tow services, so yes, please, if you can wait, don't get on that road. It'd be probably best, otherwise you're going to be going through slow traffic. So, when you arrive, on on the 11th, and that's interesting, starting on 11-11, right? which is a powerful number for peace and everything. Ben-Gurion Airport there. And the home of Simon the Tanner, a port from which the prophet Jonah set sail for Tarshish.
We know the famous Tarshish is Spain, modern day Spain. So he was told to go easterly toward Nineveh, which, by the way, the city of Nineveh is modern day Mosul.
Really?
It has been in the news with the ISIS uprising and the genocide that's been going on in Mosul. That was the ancient city of Nineveh. And that's in Assyria, or north of Syria, in Iraq. And this this city was his destination. God said to Jonah, go to Nineveh. But he went the exact opposite way. He wanted to go to Spain.
Isn't that interesting?
Maybe Portugal. And he...
I don't blame him.
He got on a ship in Joppa, which is modern Jaffa, which is one of the very first places we visit, day one.
Wow.
And we go to that city, and that was significant because so many people know the story about Jonah, how he was running away from God and the whale swallowed him, or says a great fish, something. When he finally came to his senses and said it'd be better to do what God wants me to do than
get swallowed by
a great fish. So then he eventually did go to Mosul or Nineveh.
But so you're staying at the hotel in Tel Aviv on the first night.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day, Tel Aviv, you travel to... Tell me about this. Again, you were just talking about this before, Caesarea Maritima, where you see the Roman theater, the remains from Herod's palace, Hippodrome, the aqueducts, and what's interesting, you see the Baha'i shrine and gardens. Now, a lot of people think of Israel as a desert and dry, and you don't think of Israel necessarily with gardens, right?
Yeah, you really don't. It has been transformed since the Jews started to return to Israel, which happened actually... It's been continually happening for centuries, literally since the time of the destruction of the temple. Jews have been returning to Israel, but there were large immigration of Jews from Tsarist Russia that came in the 1880s, and they made settlements, Tel Aviv being one of them, and other cities. And so they would come and they'd settle, and they started, like anyone in a new land, they would need gardens and farms, and so they started to tame the land. And the transformation of the land from the 1880s to what it is today, it's unrecognizable. Mark Twain visited Israel, and he wrote about it, and in his day, which is a little bit earlier than that, he said you could walk or travel, he said, 3 days in any direction from Jerusalem and not see a soul. So it wasn't like there were lots of villages and towns around. It was a desert. It was desolate. And it was desolate, in my understanding, because of the judgment of God had come upon Israel for very years of rebellion against God and his commandments. So it was desolate. But these returnee, as it was prophesied in the Bible, God would bring people back to the land, Jewish people, and they started to control the swamps. They started to develop irrigation, and they have turned it into a garden. And I know, Cindy, if you've been there in Israel, you remember the green areas of Galilee and how lush it was around the Sea of Galilee.
I didn't go to Galilee.
Oh, it is like Maui.
Really?
It's just green
and lush. I wouldn't have guessed that. I didn't get to Galilee.
Yeah, it's such a paradox in Israel, because you think that my wife, who's from Israel, went skiing on Mount Hermon. And I'm thinking, skiing in Israel? How is that possible? In fact, when I met her in 1985, she was living in Israel and I was there as a tourist. I was in Jerusalem in January and it started to snow in Jerusalem.
Wow.
I thought, snowing in Jerusalem? What's going on?
Amazing. Does she speak the language?
Oh, she's fluent in Hebrew.
Oh, so that's nice.
She graduated Hebrew University in pharmacy.
That's because that'll help.
So we're having her on the tour.
Yeah.
So if I need to find a men's room, I'm relying on my wife.
So you're going to actually get to sail on the Sea of Galilee.
Yes. Then, of course, that's something. Once you're up in the Galilee and all of this beautiful greenery and the farmlands, and that's where the kibbutz is, kibbutz hotel is, right on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. And the Sea of Galilee, by the way, you know, I never knew what to make out of that. I read in the Bible that there were storms on the sea and so on. So I knew it must be a fairly large body of water. But you could see across it, kind of like you could see from Maui to Lanai.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so it's wide. It's miles and miles wide. But it's fresh water. It's beautiful.
Mm.
So we're taking a boat out there, and we're going to eat a meal that's included called St. Peter's Fish. And you probably know why it's called St. Peter's Fish. Jesus told Peter, go and catch a fish if we want to pay taxes. And he caught a fish, and there was a coin in its mouth. And so he paid his taxes with the coin in its mouth. So now we eat that fish. It's a favorite of some people.
Uh-huh.
You and I know it as tilapia, but it's St. Peter's fish over there. So
wow. And you're going to do so much on that Sunday, the 13th. Capernaum, you're going to go and do the Galilee sail. You're going to go in, is it Tiberias.
Yeah.
You're going to have dinner there. That's when you have the St. Peter's fish. You're going to visit Magdala, the home of Mary of Magdalene.
Right. Mary Magdalene came from that town.
Wow.
She had seven demons in her. That's the biblical account. The traditional report is that she was a prostitute. But she was the most favored woman in the New Testament. She was given the responsibility of announcing the resurrection. She was very close in the inner circle with the disciples, and she, people, we get to visit her hometown.
And it's saying that the city has been underground for over 2,000 years and left untouched. How special is that?
You know, the whole place is an archaeological gold mine, and it's amazing to us, because here in Hawaii, we try to be sensitive for not disturbing anything of antiquity. But there in Israel, you can't avoid it. You can't plant a rose bush in Israel without bumping into some archaeological artifact. And the whole city, the whole country is that way. So, yes, they are unearthing new cities all the time. They recently found one of Herod's palaces.
Wow.
His residence. They're always doing that. And there is an interesting artifact some tourist found in an antique shop or curiosity shop. He found a little pomegranate. And so it was an ivory pomegranate. He thought, well, that's interesting. Well, it was discovered that this was the very pomegranate that the high priests had decorated their garments with, out of ivory, and it was offered at some fabulous amount of money, more money than TSA collected in loose change.
Wow.
And it was just, now it's in the museum there, but
wow.
Amazing artifacts. You may never know what you're going to discover there in Israel.
Well, then you move on to the headwaters of the Jordan River. How do you pronounce that? But the town is Benias?
Benias, yeah. You go up there, that's where Jesus made his famous pronouncement of who he was. Actually came by way of Peter. He said, who do people say I am? And people had, you know, he's a great teacher, he's a philosopher, he's John the Baptist. But, you know, they had different ideas. And he said to Peter, who do you think I am? And right there at Benias, Peter said, you're the Christ, you're the Son of God. And Jesus said, God has revealed that to you, not flesh and blood. You didn't figure that on your own. God has opened your eyes to that. So that it's a very famous site. It's probably the one clear proclamation about Jesus saying who he was, the clearest presentation. So the Benias, it's the headstream. So you'd imagine it's waterfalls.
Yeah.
It's all green and lush.
Oh,
and
nice.
Beautiful area. But it's Israel's so relatively small to what we're used to. I exaggerate and I say it's about the size of Maui. It's much larger. It's actually the size of New Jersey. But you could travel from the headwaters of the Jordan, which is the northernmost part of Israel, all the way down to the Red Sea, the most southern part, in a day. It's not a country. In fact, Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard was talking about her experience in Israel, and they took her outside of Tel Aviv to an apartment building. They had her stand on the top, and she could look to the east, and she could look to the west, and you see both borders of Israel from that one location on maybe a seven-story building. So it's a very narrow, long country, but it's not that large. And when it comes to archaeological sites, they're all kind of centralized. There's very little in the south, but you go around Jerusalem, you have Bethlehem as a suburb. Bethlehem is to Jerusalem like Paia is to Kahului. It's just not that much of a trip.
Mm-hmm.
And so you go out. So it looks like we're traveling, you know, miles and miles mm-hmm. to these different. But really, you get in the bus, you get off the bus in 45 minutes, you're at a new place, a new site.
Again, folks, if you're just tuning in, we're talking with Pastor Rob Finberg about a very exciting trip coming up here in November that he's going to lead. It's going to be a small group November 9th through the 22nd going to Israel with everything included just about except tips for $3,850. And really, really worth contacting him about this 572-8389. Okay,
eight,
so
four, eight, four.
I'm sorry, I look at the four and look at 572-8384. 572-8384. And so we've gone through the first few days here. We're up to Tuesday, November 15th, and this is Nazareth.
Right.
Nazareth.
Nazareth is an amazing place. It's primarily a Palestinian village. And it's wonderful. I had a friend in Nazareth, a Palestinian friend who worked in the bank, and he had stayed at my house through the Rotary Club Exchange, and we became friends, of course. And so when I got to go to Israel again on one of my trips, I stayed with him and his family, and just a wonderful experience. I'm Jewish in my background, and I could tell you there is no tension among people that will take the time to know each other. There are no nationalities. There is no skin color. There is no Jew or Gentile. And so Riyad was his name, just showed such warm hospitality to me and took us around Nazareth. And there are a number of Palestinian Christians. People think about Palestinians as being Muslim, which is true for some of the population. But when you go to places like Nazareth, the predominant faith of the Palestinians, a Christian, their church going, their church background, and they understand and appreciate this is where Jesus grew up. There's a place called Mary's Well. You visit Mary's Well. And again, the wells don't move. So this is the place where Jesus as a young man would gather
water
for
his family.
What do
you feel when you're in those? I mean, number one, if you haven't guessed it, folks, Pastor Rob Finberg is very much into history. I mean, I never can get enough of your talking history about what's happened here in Hawaii. But you have this sense of history. So, and you're a man of faith in an interesting way. I mean, I find you so open-minded and open to everyone. Not closed-minded at all, but very open-minded and certainly a person doing God's work. But when you go to these places, what do you sense?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, Cindy, because my first trip there, I was enthralled with certain sites that other people were just mildly interested in. And then vice versa, there were sites that we went to that I thought found interesting, but these other people are weeping and crying and just celebrating. And so it's totally subjective.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I could talk about the sites that meant a lot to me, but they're going to mean different things to all of us. I could say universally, the reaction is that you feel like you're touching the bedrock of civilization.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to ancient sites in Europe. You can go to Stonehenge, or you can go to the Tower of London, or other places that, by American standards, are ancient. But you go to Israel, and you're right there at the bedrock of everything, and that immediately captures you and your imagination. And then there are touch points. Because I'm familiar with the Bible, I remember standing at Hezekiah's wall. Now, I knew Hezekiah was the king in charge when the city was under siege, and so he said, we got to build a wall. And so he's building the wall, and the wall that best protected him from his enemies were also cutting him off from the water supply, so he said, we got to dig a tunnel too. So he dug this tunnel. And there I am in Jerusalem, and I got my hands on Hezekiah's wall.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I read about this and about, this is the wall. These are the people that built it. And then you go through Hezekiah's tunnel, which was an engineering marvel in those days, going through this limestone rock and to the source of the water, bringing water into the city. And you actually wade through the tunnel. And I can't tell you how, for me, as somebody interested in the Bible, these sites just bring it home. There, you all have an idea of what life was like in this part of the world or that, or you have an idea about a Bible story. But when you're there, I remember standing at the tomb of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is where their bones are laid to rest. These were real people. And I thought they were real people, but this is their grave. This is the sarcophagus that holds their bones. And I just was overwhelmed. I think, this is it. This man, Abraham, did nothing in his life. He didn't lead a political movement. He wasn't a king. He wasn't a soldier. He wasn't a general. He wasn't an inventor. The only thing that Abraham had going for him in his life is he had a relationship with God. And for thousands of years, people have come to his tomb to honor him. I think it's amazing.
It's pretty good, yeah.
Because the relationship with God's invisible.
And that's before the internet.
Yeah, that's right.
So, I mean, it lasted a long time.
Yeah.
So we have about 8 minutes, 7 to 8 minutes left. And so we've made it halfway here. Moving on to the Mount of Olives. Now, I have to say, the Mount of Olives and the Garden of Gethsemane, very, very powerful. I was there, and that is truly, when you see, you can see some of the old olive trees, and they're...
Some of which may have been growing when Jesus was there himself, because they have such...
Very weathered, very old, and there is a feeling there.
Yeah, there is.
There is something there. You can't help but stop and just be with that presence, that energy there.
No, I agree. And everybody feels that. I mean, in that sense, there is a common denominator about what you experience. Mm-hmm. Everybody has chicken skin every day at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And you have that sense that there is a very special place. There was a woman in our congregation from Kauai who went to Israel, and she said, "Pastor, when I got off the plane, I wanted to rub the soil on my body."
That same day is going to be a powerful woman. You're going to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, which is an amazing church.
Uh-huh.
Following, well, you know, there was a whole special about the old path of the Via Dolorosa. They're not sure was the real path.
No, there's they're not.
Some, yeah.
The city of Jerusalem has been partially destroyed 60 times and totally destroyed 30 times.
Mm.
So what we have is layer on top of layer on top of layer. And so the walls that we see, for instance, the walls of Jerusalem were built by Suleiman the Turk. So he built, Suleiman the Great, he called himself, a Turkish guy, but he...
Very famous, very interesting story about
him.
Yeah,
very interesting guy,
but
he built that wall. So we think that's the wall that Jesus saw. No, it wasn't. That was the wall that surrounded the city when the Turks had possession of the land. So you get confused a little bit about that. So obviously, the Via Dolorosa, supposedly the path that Jesus walked through the city, who can say that this was where the street was 2,000 years ago? We don't know. We do know, on the other side, that there were some undisputed sites. And of course, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre says that that's the place where Jesus was nailed on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
There are different, and laid in a tomb for 3 days. So there are those things. And then I was impressed to find out that the cave in Bethlehem was the cave of the manger. The manger wasn't like we see in front of a church, that little rickety shack, but it was in a cave. And so the cave hasn't moved, and so they built a church around it. Actually, Catherine built the church. It's called St. Catherine's. And you go into the church, and you go down the steps and so on through the lobby, and you finally come to a little cave entrance down the steps, and you go in. This is the place where the creator of the universe became a helpless baby. And I can't tell you, that was, in my opinion, the most impressive sight.
Mm-hmm.
That I thought, God became a helpless baby here at this place. And it's just, it's subjective again. This was my experience. But
that was, you're going
that's
there.
That's in Bethlehem.
In Bethlehem. Okay, we haven't gone there. But you do have a day in Jerusalem because there's so much there.
We got a free day. So people go around and they can go back
again,
to
you
the,
go to that wall you were talking about.
To the wall
about.
And they could visit those things. I know we're kind of winding down on time, but from there we go on day 11. We go to the Dead Sea.
That's a very powerful place for me. And there's a museum in Jerusalem you can go to that has some of the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Oh, yeah. It's called the Shrine of the Book.
Yeah.
And what's interesting, going with my wife, who speaks Hebrew fluently, Nora, here's this, one of the most ancient samples of writing in the world. And my wife was able to read it.
Wow.
Like you and I
read
it. Because
it's hard to get hard to get actual translations of that, the Dead Sea Scrolls that are right.
Yeah, well, they have been translated, mm-hmm. but what's nice to know is that I'm with my wife,
and she's reading actually it to read me. It. Yeah,
so
very powerful.
Yeah,
and so you go to the Dead Sea, and which is again a very, very interesting place. And
it's
then
the
Masada, yeah. You go to Masada as well.
Masada was the palace for Herod. Yes. It was a vacation resort for him, and it was an impregnable fortress that was up on the top of these very steep cliffs, and there was a very narrow pathway that went up. But he liked going there. It was secure, and he built a wall around the top and so on. But this has been excavated, and you go, and you could see the baths, and you could see the storehouses. He had all his water stored, all of his grain stored. It's a fascinating thing. But more important was that the Jewish people that were fleeing from the conflict with the Romans, they went and they somehow got into the palace. And there were 950 Jews that were holed up in Masada.
Mm.
And they made a decision that they would not surrender, neither would they be taken alive.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't allow their wives and their daughters to be raped. They wouldn't allow their sons to be eunuchs and serve in the Roman slaves. So they said, we make a pact. And they made a pact that we will stand here at Masada.
And they did.
And they did. And that today is the site where the Israeli Tank Corps takes their commissioning service.
Mm.
They go up to the top of Masada and they swear. And I tell you, you get a lump in your throat when you go there. Because you realize that Israel has many enemies in the world,
mm-hmm.
and that they have nowhere else to go. They have to make their stand and defend, because they have tried for thousands of years to find refuge in a secure place to live. And the history of the world has been tragically so anti-Jewish, anti-Semitic, that Jews have found no home in Russia, no home in Poland, no home, of course, in Europe at World War II time. And so there has been a need for Israel to preserve that land.
Well, we only have a minute and a half left, but you do go on to, on the 20th, as you're winding it down, you go to the place where Abraham and Abimelech at that place.
Yeah.
And then you go to, is it Allah Valley, the site of the Battle of David and Goliath?
Yeah.
Wow. And then that you wind it up there. Check out on the final day at the, and on the 21st, and you go to the site. There's an Israel Museum there, the Holy Land Model, and the Holocaust Museum, and all that. And you, and end of the day, one of the sites believed to be the burial place of Jesus.
Yeah. Well, temporary burial place.
Yes.
He was only there 3 days.
Yes.
The old joke.
He only needs the
tomb for the weekend. Yeah.
It was a quick stop.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's going to be, I think it's life-changing. I think it's a life-changing, I think all travel can change your life. Mm-hmm. I think all travel has the potential, if you're open, to change your life. But certain places that are powerful can really do something to your psyche. And
right.
I think
I
Jerusalem, definitely, the Holy Land, is something everyone should see. The number to call to reach Pastor Rob Pimberg is 572-8384. That's 572-8384. You have such a wealth of knowledge. It's going to be a very special journey. I think you only can go as high as 40 people, right?
No, we have room for 45.
45.
Right now, we do have room for 15 or 20 more people. We'll all be on the same bus. I'm not the tour guide. I'm just the host. The tour guide is a professional, licensed Israeli. They know the people, they know the route, they know 10 times what I know.
Well, I want to thank you for coming in, and thank you, Kathy Takushi, Captivating Journeys. You can call her at 244-1414. That's all the time we have. But we thank you for listening to The Travel Show. Nice.